Alex Rider, Book 11, Never Say Die. Written by Anthony Horowitz and read by Rupert Degas. "50,000 people had come to the Suffolk Air Show on the east coast of England, but only one of them was there to commit murder. It was the end of August, the last week of the summer holiday. The schools were closed and whole families had taken advantage of the fine weather to arrive at the old airbase, less than a mile from the sea. They had strolled around vintage planes from the First and Second World Wars, single-seat biplanes parked next to Spitfires and Hurricanes. That morning, the Red Arrows had put on a dazzling display, twisting and crisscrossing each other in the sky before swooping down, trailing plumes of red, white and blue. There had been flypasts by the Tornado GR-4, the two-seat attack aircraft that had been used in Iraq and Libya, and by the Lightning II Joint Strike Fighter, one of the most sophisticated and, at £100 million, one of the most expensive aircrafts in the world. The grounds were packed with simulator rides, motorbike displays, drones, face painting and fairground stalls. Everyone was having a good time. As with every public event in the UK, an extensive, almost invisible security net had been put in place. It was impossible to stop and search all the cars, but CCTV cameras recorded every arrival and every number plate was instantly checked. People might notice police and even a few sniffer dogs moving among them. These were a common sight, but they would be unaware of the plainclothes policemen, many of them with concealed weapons, mingling with the crowd. In fact, the Joint Terrorism Analysis Centre, JTAC, had met in their offices close to the Houses of Parliament just a few days before and had agreed that the threat level at the Suffolk Air Show would remain at moderate. They weren't expecting any trouble. And so nobody paid very much attention to the woman who arrived just after 3 o'clock. She had driven into the car park in a Ford Transit van, which, according to the automatic number plate recognition system, belonged to the St. John Ambulance Service. This is the country's leading first aid charity, and indeed the woman was dressed in the green and black uniform of a local volunteer. She was carrying a nylon bag marked with a white cross, which, if opened, would reveal medicine and bandages. She was short and round-shouldered, with dark red hair that had been cut so badly that it stuck out straight on one side of her head and curled in on the other. There was something quite aggressive about the way she walked, like a boxer about to enter the ring. She was overweight, breathing heavily, with beads of sweat on her upper lip. She had a lot of makeup on, but it did nothing to make her more attractive, sitting uselessly on her leathery skin. As she walked, she put on a pair of cheap sunglasses. They concealed the smouldering violence in her eyes. There was a separate entrance leading into the airbase, reserved for paramedics, technicians, organisers, anyone working at the event. She stopped and showed a pass which identified her as Jane Smith, but this was not her real name. Nor had she ever worked for the St. John Ambulance Service. The security man at the gate might have wondered why she had arrived so late in the day when the air show was almost over. He might have asked her why she was alone. But he was tired, and he was looking forward to getting home. He glanced at her pass and waved her through. He didn't even look inside the bag.